Reading text 26 from Canto 3, chapter 15. Nice verse. This is still Brahma speaking to the demigods, and he's now again focused on the experience of the four Kumaras. He went from this little nice ecstatic expression of how wonderful these topics are, how fortunate it is to have these topics, how unfortunate it is when one is attracted to other things. How, what great misfortune. Now he's back to their experience. The four Kumaras are about to come to the gates of Vaikuntha, entering through the next verses, entering through the seven gates of Vaikuntha. And so he's, this verse is like a summary of the many other verses preceding. So, thus the great sages, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sananda, and Sanat Kumar, upon reaching the above-mentioned Vaikuntha in the spiritual world, by dint of their mystic yoga performance, perceived unprecedented happiness. They found that the spiritual sky was illuminated by highly decorated airplanes, piloted by the best devotees of Vaikuntha, and was predominated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Personality of Godhead is one without a second. He is above everyone. No one is equal to him, nor is anyone greater than him. Therefore, he is described as Vishva Guru. He is the prime living entity of the entire material and spiritual creation, and is Bhuvanaika Vandiyam, the only worshipable personality in the three worlds. The airplanes in the spiritual sky are self-illuminated and are piloted by great devotees of the Lord. In other words, in the Vaikuntha planets, there's no scarcity of the things which are available in the material world. They are available. But they are more valuable because they are spiritual and therefore eternal and blissful. The sages felt an unprecedented happiness because Vaikuntha was not predominated by an ordinary man. Yay. The Vaikuntha planets are predominated by expansions of Krishna, who are differently named as Madhusudana, Madhava, Narayana, Pradyumna, etc. These transcendental planets are worshipable because the Personality of Godhead personally rules them. It is said here that the sages reached the transcendental spiritual sky by dint of their mystic power. That is the perfection of the yoga system, the breathing exercises and disciplines to keep health in proper order are not the ultimate goals of yoga perfection. The yoga system, as generally understood, is Ashtanga Yoga or Siddhi, eightfold perfection in yoga. By dint of perfection in yoga, one can become one can become lighter than the lightest and heavier than the heaviest. One can go wherever he likes, and one can achieve opulences as he likes. There are eight such perfections. The rishis, the four Kumaras, reached Vaikuntha by becoming lighter than the lightest, and thus passing over the space of the material world. Modern mechanical vehicles are unsuccessful because they cannot go to the highest region of the material creation, and they certainly cannot enter the spiritual sky. But by perfection of the yoga system, one not only can travel through the material space, but he can surpass material space and enter the spiritual sky. We learned this fact also from an incident concerning Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish. It is understood that in 1 year, Durvasa Muni traveled everywhere and went into the spiritual sky to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. By present standards, scientists calculate that if one could travel at the speed of light, it would take 40,000 years to reach the highest planet of the material world. But the yoga system can carry one without limitation or difficulty. The word yoga maya is used in this verse. Yoga maya balina vaikuntham. The transcendental happiness exhibited in the spiritual world and all other spiritual manifestations there are made possible by the influence of yoga maya, the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can we do something? This thing is sagging. Like, how about this? Very nice verse, very nice purport. The way Prabhupada has laid out the purport is just taking the terms from the verse and one by one pointing forward. So the first terms that he's pointing to are, it's in the first line, Vishva Guru. What does Vishva mean?
Universe.
Universe. So he's the Lord of Vaikuntha, which is not within this universe. So the nomenclature Vishva Guru is with reference to where we are, and he's not where we are, or His abode is not where we are. His abode is the spiritual world. But within this material world, Vishva, he's the principal personality. He's the guru of all gurus within this universe. A Vishva Guru. And the way the Prabhupada has presented it in the purport is also the spiritual planets. He's the prime living entity in the entire material and spiritual creation. So he's Vishva Guru. Known by us as Vishva Guru, at least. He's the predominating personality. And therefore also Bhuvana Eka Ishvara. Actually, Bhuvana Eka Vandyam. Vandyam means worshipable. So he's worshipable. Bhuvana Eka. Of all the planets. Whether you go in the spiritual world or the material world, he's worshipable. He is the worshipable one. So that's the first line. Vishva Guru Adikritam. Adikritam, predominated. The Vaikuntha realm is predominated by that person. And then, so the next line, therefore it's worshipable. The place is worshipable. The contrasting position is nationalism. The place where one is born is worshipable. My last visit to China, there was during they have a national holiday, like we have our 4th of July. So when, you know, Mao was successful to get rid of the whatever the previous government was, they have a national holiday, celebrate it. And it goes for a whole week. The people work 360 days of the year, but they have national holidays to celebrate Mao. And they're, you know, the national socialist government or something. And just before that happened, there was this issue over some uninhabitable island off the coast of China, and, you know, Japan and China were, you know, puffing their chest out over those useless islands. So all over the country, there was a zillion flags, like, yay, China, boo, Japan. And it's not just China, it happens anywhere. There's some issue between one country and the other country, and yay, our country. So, according to the Bhagavatam, those who have that mentality can consider their place of birth to be worshipable. What does the Bhagavatam say? They're no better than a hog or an ass. So here the Bhagavatam contrastingly that Vaikuntha realm is worshipable because it's inhabited by or it's predominated by Adikritam Vishvaguru. He's the predominating person. And he's worshipable anywhere in the spiritual material world. So people are happy being in Vaikuntha. Their blissfulness is, we don't have an ordinary person ruling us. So that's pretty unique. The head of everything, the head of the land or the planet is God, and everyone is happily obedient to the will of God. Whew. And a whole other topic is the ideal situation in this world is the king is the representative of God, and being so qualified by their spiritual attainment, their spiritual consciousness, they rule like Ram Raja, they rule under the authority of the personality of Godhead. That's the ideal. Not only the rule is there, but the other notion of the ideas by which one rules, or the models or the concepts or the principles, because governments established by men, whether they're whatever the ism or even, you know, the mundane sense of monarchy or capitalism or communism or socialism or whatever the ism, they're man-made, assuming they're not that which is directly coming from Scripture, from God. It's man-made, so it's fallible, and so the people are, it's just, the starting point is wrong, and so it's not going to be happiness. What to do? That's a big topic. The Bhagavatam certainly recognizes the dilemma and the direction of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and those who are following the Bhagavatam, those who are teaching the Bhagavatam, trying to mold their lives according to its message, have as a initial step, priority, is creating through training and education first-class men, means Brahmana Vaishnavas, who can then, with knowledge and vision, give some direction. Not necessarily become the head of state, but give direction to those who are in the position of head of state. Or to educate people in general, since the modern system is by vote, so educate the people in general. But how are the people in general going to, they're not going to have the capacity to understand? That's not the Vedic model, is that everybody understands the same thing that the Brahmanas understand. At least the principle of God consciousness and the respect for Brahminical culture. So part of the merit of, or the ability to attain respect for Brahminical culture is having qualified Brahmanas. So that's our initial project, becoming qualified Brahmanas. Brahmana Vaishnavas. Brahmanas who understand the personality of Godhead and live their lives accordingly and set example in the various situations of life, in the social arena and the all aspects of life, in the place of occupation, showing by example, and in an ongoing fashion cultivating the qualities of a first-class person, sama dhamma tapaksho cham, etc. Jnanam, vijnanam, understanding and practical application of that understanding, and continuing to cultivate that for the purpose of satisfying the personality of Godhead, showing by example, and in that way becoming qualified to give, at least by example, or by example and precept, give, this is the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Live it and present it. And if some, even if there are pages of quotes where Prabhupada explicitly says, it's not expected that all persons will become Krishna conscious, but if some percentage, sometimes he gave 10% and other percentages, that's a huge part of the population, became Krishna conscious, then the world would be Krishna conscious. Just this morning I was hearing Prabhupada say this standard of Brahminical culture. He said, even if, say, 50% in the mode of goodness, then one can have an inkling of the personality of Godhead. You can do, you know, the God. But without that, in the name of God or the name of religion, it's pretense. It's misleading. It's cheating. So this is the point I want to emphasize, is our solution to the dilemma is become examples. Become situated in the quality of goodness through the process of elevation, of shravanam, kirtanam, and try to understand, come to the point of understanding Krishna, to the capacity a tiny living entity can understand the unlimited. How the limited can understand the unlimited is limited, but to our capacity, become qualified That's our service assignment, our job description. Become qualified. Brahmana Vaishnavas. And through our actions and through our speech to represent that teaching. And that's very powerful. The four Kumaras, it says, that they experienced an unprecedented happiness. Where is that in the Sanskrit? Apu param mudam apurvam. Mudam is happiness. Param mudam, the highest happiness. Apurvam is unprecedented. So that when they, it was just by entering into that realm, they experience something just by being in contact with that realm. It's something, not the same thing, but it's something like what people say that visit our temples for the first time, that kind of experience. And it happens a lot. After a program, at a temple Sunday program, and somebody brings up, you know, I met so-and-so, or I brought my friend from work, and this is their first time. So I like to ask them, you know, give me an honest answer. What's your experience? And, you know, it's commonly two things. Well, it's really different. You know, culturally, it's very different. But, you know, there's a joy, there's a happiness that's very attractive. Now, we're immersed in it. So we're you know, maybe we're not feeling so joyful or something like that. But you know, in contrast to what the material circumstances are, the process of worshiping Krishna is very joyful. But to speak of the realm of Vaikuntha, because you know the temple president is God. Or as during Ram's rule, everyone was very happy because God was ruling Ram Raja, and people pining for, once again, let us have Ram Raja. And you know, Without Ram, you don't have Ram Raja. Without having Ram Bhaktas, you're not going to have Ram Raja. He'll be attracted to be present where his devotees are gathering. And so, to attract the personality of Godhead by our Krishna consciousness. Anyway, it's the joyfulness of the process of devotional service has to do with the predominating position of the personality of Godhead in our lives. To the degree that we can factually achieve that, we'll experience that unprecedented happiness. I'm thinking of this because we had our GBC meeting in Tirupati. There's this very large hall, the main temple hall, and the deities are, like many temples, up raised platform, and then the altar, and then up higher the deities, and there's Radha Govinda and Ashtasakis. And to have Radha Govinda and the Ashtasakis and Govardhan Shila in Tirupati, where the mood is Aishvarya, it's you know, Goloka within Vaikuntha. And the process of worship, while the process of worship of Balaji is also Krishna, but the mood is Aishvarya, and it's very powerful. But the mood of Madhurya is unprecedented happiness. So I've heard Revati Rama describe on a couple of occasions what the experience was when he invited the, whatever his title is, the head, the chief priest and organizer, not just like from the TTD, but as a priestly position, but his administrative position. So he was invited to preside over their installation of Radha Govinda and the inauguration of the new temple. And devotees had come from all over India. It was huge turnout, some thousands. And the kirtan, that chief priest and head organizer experiencing the kirtans, it was just going on endlessly. It wasn't mild, it was very joyful kirtan. And, you know, thousands of people from all walks of life, you know, many of whom are from India, but many of whom were from other places, Russia and other place, parts of the world. Just, you know, well-educated person jubilantly dancing like peacocks and for hours. And the mood of joy and mirth just moved the priest to speak publicly and say what these people are accomplishing. It goes way beyond anything that we're able to do. And the essence of it is the holy name, and chanting congregationally the holy name. It carries one, it transports one beyond worldly existence. So, while we have this very powerful process, you know, we are still clinging to or stuck to, you know, this world. But fortunate for us, we have this very powerful process, because where would it be otherwise? But the potency is certainly there, and the experience of the potency by the Kumaras was unprecedented happiness. The way the Sanskrit is laid out is that it was made possible on the strength of yogamaya balena, which is what Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, yogamaya balena vaikuntham, the transcendental happiness exhibited in the spiritual world, and all other spiritual manifestations there are made possible by the influence of yogamaya. But wherever the Lord is, his yogamaya is, and wherever the yogamaya is, there's this unprecedented blissfulness if one can contact yogamaya. So the wish of the devotee is to be under the care of the internal potency. And by being in the care of the internal potency, one leaves behind the influence of the external potency. Unprecedented happiness. Now, two other things. Going back a little bit from the earlier verses, how the four Kumaras were situated. They were situated in Brahman realization. They had Brahmananda, the happiness of Brahman realization, the happiness of this position of neutrality. And in the position of neutrality, they traveled wherever they wished without having a desire to fulfill, which is not normal. We do things because we have something to fulfill, and so we go here or go there, do this or do that. So what's it like to to do something where you don't have a purpose to fulfill. Like, devotees have a purpose to fulfill, besides, you know, some material thing. We want to serve Krishna. What moves a Brahman-realized person from point A to point B? It's mysterious. And in addition, just exploring. And in addition, here Prabhupada is connecting the power by which they were able to move. He takes this yogamaya balina and connects it with how they were able to move about. And he goes into it by mystic power, balina. But mystic power is very clearly described in Nectar Devotion as something that's material. It's a material perfection that one can try by mechanical means, or one can try by subtle means. And the subtle means is just manipulation of material laws by subtle means. So one can become light or become heavy, one can whatever the mystic opulence is, by manipulation of laws of nature that are done in a subtle way by some power that one achieves. So it's just material. It's on, mystic cities are on the material platform. And there isn't something here in the Sanskrit that speaks about mystic power. It's just yogamaya balena munaya tad ato vaikuntam. So Prabhupada has taken that. The yogamaya balina is applied to the bliss of the Vaikuntha realm, and without saying so, he also connects it to how the Kumaras were able to move about. We're a little tired this morning because it was late at night last night and not so much sleep. How much sleep did you get? About 3.5-4 hours? Huh?
6 hours.
Really? Sanchi Kumar?
Five.
Okay. You're struggling too a little bit. Good luck at work. Behind... there are Sanskrit terms for spiritual opulences, distinct from them are material opulences. The material opulences are called vibhutis. 11th chapter, 10th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti Yoga. They're reflections of the spiritual opulences, or but sparks of Krishna's splendor. And that's the position of Paramatma. He is the sustainer of all things of this world. He's behind any material opulence. So here's this mystic city by which Ambarish Maharaj traveled and by which the Kumaras traveled. And behind it is the personality of Godhead. So although they weren't Paramatma realized or Bhagavan realized, they knew mystic power, same as Durvas Muni, not Bhagavan realized for sure. But mystic powers do come from the Supersoul. So one who approaches this Ashtanga Yoga, mystic city, or to do anything of some extraordinary power, behind it is the personality of Godhead. So in that way, on the strength of their mastery of Ashtanga Yoga and the process of mysticism, the spiritual potency. Otherwise, how can one go to Vaikuntha? Spiritual potency must be there. One may be able to do something of this world, but carrying that further into entering into the Vaikuntha realm, the transcendental realm. It's not possible. It's not possible by manipulation of material laws in a subtle way, which is what mysticism is. It's just a material thing, manipulation of a material thing in a subtle way. It gets some mystic power, inconceivable power. But it's a material power. Entering into the Vaikuntha realm isn't just by manipulation of material laws in a subtle way. So they were gifted. That's how it comes. They were gifted with that capacity for a purpose of the Lord, for the purpose of performing a lila. So they were involved in his yogamaya potency to perform a lila with him or be part of one of his lilas. So they didn't, as the rest of the story goes, you know, they didn't right away enter Vaikuntha. They were at the gates of Vaikuntha, but even get to the gates of Vaikuntha, my goodness, that's not just a material power. So by that agency, they were transported. By that agency, they were able to experience unprecedented happiness. By the agency of Yogamaya, this unprecedented happiness was the nature of the place. And the nature of the place was like that because the personality of Godhead is predominating. And anyone who is in that atmosphere experiences